It's time for Girls in Golf Podcast with your favorite hosts, Lex and Sarah. Ladies, when you're ready.
Welcome to Girls in Golf, our latest quarantine edition of this podcast, part of the Callaway Podcast Network and the Rebel Movement. I'm Lex, joined by Sarah, and today we have two awesome guests from their homes in Scottsdale and in England, Carlota Siganda and Georgia Hall. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Hi,
how are you?
So we were super excited when Bjorn, I was excited when Bjorn texted me and our tour manager and said that you both had time to be on because you're both part of a winning Solheim Cup team from last year. Congratulations. And you guys obviously are some top performers on the LPGA and the European Ladies European Tour. And I think it's really cool that like we have this time to talk to both of you. So, you know, obviously with the situation and being in quarantine, things are a little different. How have you guys been doing and what are you doing to keep your games sharp right now? Carlota, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I'm in Scottsdale in Arizona, and I mean, I feel pretty lucky to be honest. I've been talking to my family and friends back in Spain and they've been in a total lockdown for almost 2 months. So, I mean, considering that, things are quite good here. We can still go out. The courses are still open. So I've been playing some golf. I mean, not much, but just going out there like 2-3 times a week and hitting some balls, playing a few holes. And then the weather is really nice here. So just going for nice walks, a few workouts. I have a padding mat at home that I've been using. And that's a little bit what I've been doing, a little bit more social media than other times, because usually I don't use that much. But no, it's been nice. I mean, usually we don't have much time to relax and stay at home. And I mean, this is a sad reason, but I mean, it's nice to just relax and hopefully this goes soon and we can get back to normal and playing again soon.
Georgia, what about you? What have you been up to since things kind of got locked down?
Yeah, I've been in lockdown for about a month now, and we can only go out for about an hour a day, only to get essential items like food and things like that. So, yeah, all the golf courses are closed. Can't do anything golf-wise. I do have a pattern mat that I use indoors and a couple of chipping nets that I've ordered for the garden. But apart from that, not much. So I haven't really hit a golf ball in a while. But I mean, the weather is like incredible at the moment in England, which is very rare at this time of year. So yeah, I've been kind of using my hour every day, going on nice walks to the beach and just trying to keep do some things in the house, painting. So yeah, I'm just trying to fill my time.
Georgia, we noticed you've been posting some workout videos on TikTok and Instagram. What do you primarily focus on? Is there a specific part of your body that you're trying to really work out?
Yeah, but now I've got a lot of spare time during the day. I'm trying to do something, at least one or two things productive during the day. So yeah, my arms are the weakest part of my body. So I'm really trying to do things that require no equipment because I can't go to the gym. So really like body workouts, my body weight. So yeah, really my arms and core at the moment, just trying to keep fit for when we do eventually get back on tour. I think it's going to be extremely busy.
And Carlota, we talked a little bit before we started the podcast. You said that you've been doing some workouts with your trainer. What are you working on?
Yeah, so the gym is obviously closed, but at the golf course that I play, there is a green space, green area that it's really nice, and I prefer to be outside. So I told him, and we are going a couple days a week, and we are doing some sprints, some medicine ball throwing. We have some bands, some weights. So I mean, we are doing, I mean, not the same, but pretty much similar to what we used to do. So I mean, I feel lucky. I feel pretty good. And yeah, I mean, being able to work out and being able to play golf, so that's really nice.
Having this much time, you know, to work on your bodies, are you also working on your, like, mental, not even, like, toughness, but just, like, where you guys are at mentally and kind of reshifting your focus? Georgia, let's start with you.
Yeah, just before the lockdown, where all the tournaments were still on, I recently bought a new place. So I was kind of thinking, oh, I'm not going to have much time to move in and do the things I want to do. So now I do have time. I am trying to do as much as I can in the house. So when I do go away for 6-7 weeks in a row, I don't have to think, oh, I haven't done this and this needs doing. So my mental side for that is obviously I'm like achieving things back here, which is good. But yeah, just kind of even like eating healthier, it's kind of it gives you a lot of time every day to think about little things that you'd miss, because as golfers, we're always so busy and always on the move. So yeah, I'm just really focusing on kind of fitness and my nutrition.
Carlotto, what about you?
Yeah, so I've been working a little bit on, I've been doing some meditation, which it's something that I always liked a lot. And there is an app that I use, it's called Headspace. And I really like it. So I've been trying to do that for like 15 to 30 minutes every day. Lots of breathing, which I think it's pretty good for these times. And then, as George just said, I mean, we've been doing some cooking as well. I mean, you have so much time, so you can actually plan your meals and you can eat healthier. So yeah, trying some new different plates. I mean, I've been calling my mom and asking her how she does the fish that I like and the meat and whatever. So I mean, it's been quite nice. And then I've been also reading some books on Instagram as well. I've been watching some Insta Live, which I think they are really nice about. I love sports, so always trying to find some athletes and some mental experts that they can help you with your mind and they can help you to be a better athlete. So that's what I've been doing. And I mean, obviously I love playing golf and I really miss the competition, but I think it's been nice to just relax a little bit. And then I think we're going to appreciate more when we are on the golf course and just playing.
So one thing is you start to...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Sarah. Lex. Oh, okay.
No, I think we're going in the same direction.
I was just going to say, when things do start to open up, how do you ladies feel about this condensed schedule? How do you think it's going to be different than a normal LPGA schedule? Do you think things are going to be a little bit more competitive, or what are you expecting? Georgia, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be every week when we do get started. And I think it will be more competitive because there's players on the tour that haven't even played one event yet. So I think that we'll have the best players every single week competing. So obviously that's going to be slightly harder. And then we've got like the rookies who want to keep their card still and people kind of fighting to keep their card with not many events left. I'm not sure how they're going to do the rankings, but if people are going to lose their cards, then yeah, I think it'd be a very strange time. Obviously, none of us as players have ever gone through that. But we'll just have to see. And, you know, it's better than not playing at all. But, yeah, definitely going to be very busy mentally and physically.
And Carlotta, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think very similar to what George just said. I think it's going to be very, very busy. I mean, obviously, Mike Wan, he's going to try to put as many tournaments as he can if we are allowed to play in all the states. I think we'll get an email maybe next week or in a couple of weeks, and we'll see if we can start in June or maybe it's going to be July. And obviously, it's going to be tough because usually we play from January to November, so now it's going to be half the year. So how do you do the card for next year? I mean, it's a lot of thinking. I don't think we have to worry much. I think we just have to go and play. And yeah, I think it's going to be very, very busy. I mean, almost playing every week. And yeah, we'll see what happens with all the European events. And then we have Asia in October. So, I mean, it's a little bit everything up in the air because I don't know if we're going to be able to travel there and play there. I mean, without having a vaccine, I think it's going to be a different year, obviously, and we just have to be prepared to all the changes that can happen. And I mean, just be mentally strong and be ready for whenever we are able to play.
Something like this has never happened before. Would you say you're excited to take on this challenge?
I love challenges, and yeah, I mean, I love playing golf. I realize how much I love what I do. I mean, sometimes you take it for granted, but I feel so lucky. I love playing. I love competing. I mean, I feel really lucky to travel the world, to get to know different people from other countries, other cultures. So, I mean, I think it's been the best years of my life playing on tour, and I really miss it. I miss the players. I miss the caddies. I miss my friends. So, it's been nice to be here, but at the same time, I can't wait to get back on tour, to start playing and start making some birdies.
Me?
Yeah, go ahead, Georgia.
Go ahead, Georgia.
Yeah, like Carlotta said, really, it makes you really appreciate what you do. And of course, I'm really missing it. I just love competing. And I think it will be definitely a mental challenge playing that many in a row, because a lot of players, I mean, me, I can only play maybe four maximum, and then that's me done. But obviously, this year will be very different. But yeah, I mean, you do, sometimes players do, and myself, take for granted that I'm so lucky to call what I do a job, even though it doesn't feel like one. So yeah, I think it's going to be a new feeling for us all, but yeah, I just got to do the best we can.
In looking at the schedule now and thinking, you know, like, you're both international players, what about like where you live and how that's going to affect your golf schedule? Because Georgia, with you being overseas, especially right now, if things are going to start back in June, what's your plan to get back over here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I'll probably have to go over 1 or 2 weeks before to self-isolate or something. And it all depends when the lockdown's over here as well, when I can start practicing again. I do think from the stats they're showing that America is behind us, that we're further along the line. Hopefully England will kind of get back to normal sooner rather than later. But yeah, if it does come to it, that I'll have to go 2 weeks early and then maybe stay over in America for 2 months or something like that, then yeah, that's fine. I'll do that.
What do you guys think about the possibility of, you know, playing with no fans, or even they were talking about having at the Ryder Cup, like virtual fans or fake fans? How do you guys think that would work, or how would it feel? Carlotta, let's start with you.
I mean, for me, I want to play, so obviously I would rather play with fans than with no fans, because I think that's what makes it special. I mean, you want to play good in front of the fans, and I mean, I like that pressure. Obviously, with this happening, I mean, I think we all want to play, so if we have to play this year with no fans, it's fine with me. I mean, I think a Ryder Cup with no fans, it would be very strange, and I think as a player, I'd rather wait a year and play with fans than playing without fans. Especially because I think all the fans and all the people watching are what makes it very special, and everyone screaming and shouting. So, I mean, I think it will be very strange. Whatever happens, it happens. But I think it's a big stage. The Ryder Cup is one of the biggest stages in golf. So I think the players would prefer to wait a year. I mean, also for the qualifying, I mean, it's hard to... I mean, yeah, you can pick players and you can always pick the best one, but I don't think it's fair for other players. They don't have the time to qualify, and it might be one of their dreams to be on that team. So I think it would be better to maybe postpone 1 year, half a year and a half to play and qualify, and then pick the best players and play it as always with fans and make it one of the biggest weeks in golf.
Georgia, but what about you? What about even on like a regular LPGA tournament? Can you imagine not having your fans there?
Yeah, I think that would be very strange. And something that, you know, we'd have to get used to fairly quickly, I think, if, you know, the whole rest of the year would be without no fans. It would be for sure a lot quieter all around the golf course, and even walking from driving range to putting green. But yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I just, you know, the most important thing is for us to be back playing golf. It's a real shame that they can't come and watch, but hopefully they will be able to as soon as possible.
What do you love about your fans? Do they bring like a certain energy, and do they ever try to interact with you?
Yeah. what I love most probably is they really kind of sometimes G you up. So if you've got a whole massive putt for birdie or eagle, they're always cheering and have your back. And even if you have like a bogey or double bogey, they always try to, when you walk into the next tee, oh, come on, you can do it. And yeah, they really like want you to do well. So I'll miss having that out there.
Carlota, what about you?
I love the fans here, especially living in the US now for 3 years and going to college. I realize how big sports is in the US, especially compared to Europe and Spain. So, I mean, I love how much they enjoy sports, how much they support. And now, I mean, not being able to watch sports on TV, I realize how important it is, I mean, in this country and in the whole world, really. So, I mean, I love fans. I mean, we have to be very thankful to them, to all the volunteers, everyone helping us to make the tournaments possible. And I think, yeah, I mean, as Georgia said, I mean, they cheer you up and, I mean, they love following us. And I think it's a big part of the LPGA and all the sporting events. So, I mean, we need them and hopefully they can be with us soon.
Like you said, there's obviously no sports on TV right now, but there have been a lot of things being replayed. Is there one tournament that you could go back and replay just because it was so much fun?
For me, I mean, the first tournament that it comes to my mind is the Sohan Cup last year. I mean, I've been watching a lot and it's just, I mean, all the memories that we had is such a special week, especially because golf is an individual sport. So playing as a team, playing with your friends, I think that way you make friends for life. And I mean, especially we won the way we did, Susan making that putt on the last hole. And I think it was just great for women's golf because both teams had the chance to win on the last hole. So I think it was such a nice week from every aspect. Obviously, it ended great for us, but I think the Americans played great. And I mean, Sohan Cups, Ryder Cups, I can be watching all day. I love them.
Georgia, what about you? And what was your experience like at the Solheim Cup?
I was going to say Solheim as well, if I could replay an event. They played it on Sky a couple of weeks ago. And obviously they played the singles and I was playing my single match. So obviously I didn't see anyone else's shots. And I just like that chip on the last from Carlota, it was like incredible. I just couldn't believe it. I was watching it and I was like, only Carlota can play that.
anything for Europe.
Yeah, exactly. At the right moment as well. But no, that was awesome. And the Solheim was definitely one of the best moments in my career. And Carlota's right. You know, you do make friends for life. And when we all kind of ran on the green and hugging each other, we were just so happy and so happy for the team. And each one of us really just loved being together, even in the evenings. I think that was one of the best parts as well, watching kind of family videos, good luck messages. That was just an incredible week.
Do you wish there were more opportunities for team tournaments?
Yeah, definitely. Because we play so much on our own and even traveling all the time, you know, it does get sometimes a bit lonely. So, to play in team events, I think they're everyone's favourites. Even the pairs event we have now in the middle of the season. I didn't play it last year, but I was planning to play it this year. And I think it's so much fun and it's a great way to just a bond with other players. And hopefully we'll have more of them. And the UL Crown as well. That's an incredible event as well. Very unique. And hopefully we can have more of them going forward.
Carlota, I've seen on your Twitter that you're actually doing a Q&A for the Spanish Red Cross, right? With Rafa and Carlos Sainz, who drives for Formula One. Can you tell us a little bit about that and when that's happening?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been always very a big fan of, I mean, Spain. I mean, I love my country and Rafa Nadal and Pau Gasol that he plays on the NBA. They started like this initiative to help people in Spain, especially all the people that they are helping, all the people in the healthcare. So I donated some money, and then they called me the other day, Rafa's agents, to do a Q&A. And yeah, I mean, obviously I'm very happy to help in anything that I can, especially for Spain. And I think people, they are sending questions to Twitter, and then we have to do a few videos to reply to their questions. I mean, it's something nice that, I mean, I'm sure that fans, they are going to love it. I mean, not answering my questions, but especially talking to Rafa and Carlos Sainz. So I think it's something really nice. And I think the closer we are to the people now in Spain, I think the more they are going to appreciate. And I mean, it's just something easy that we can do for them. And I think we have to be all together in these tough times, and hopefully we can get back to normality soon.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really cool that you have these big athletes coming together, yourself included, to do something like this. What can you learn from people like Rafa about, like, how you can give back and how to stay involved with your community?
Yeah, I mean, I've been always a massive fan of Rafa Nadal. He's my hero by far. I mean, I think he's just a great example to follow, how he fights when he plays tennis, the respect that he shows to all the opponents, how hard he works. And I've been lucky enough to get to know him. I've been playing with him golf a few times in Mallorca where he lives. And he's just such a nice guy, so humble, so normal. Great values. He's very close to his family. So, I mean, I can see myself with a lot of those values, and I just love how he wants to help everyone. He always has great ideas, either in tennis or outside tennis, like always helping his country for Spain. So I think it's one of the best athletes inside and outside. So, I mean, I would love to be like him one day and just be able to help people inside and outside.
Georgia, what about you? Do you have someone that is kind of like a role model for you as far as an athlete or someone who gives back?
Tennis-wise, I do love Serena Williams. I went to Wimbledon the last couple of years and watched her play. I think she's a great role model, especially for women, how mentally tough she is. And I just love watching her. She's so different to everyone else. And she really has a lot of confidence in herself. I think that's very important, being an athlete. So sport-wise, I think definitely she's at the top.
What about a golf athlete? Is there someone that you look up to in terms of professional golf?
On the women's game, I actually looked up to growing up Suzanne Pettersen, which I've never told her that because I don't want to, but she's like so fierce. When I was a junior, I just loved watching her in Solheims and as a player, and she's so like, I just love mentally tough athletes, and she was just an incredible golfer. And even to share that moment, her holding the putt for us at Solheim was just an incredible feeling.
Carlota, what about you? Is there a golfer that you admire?
Yeah, so growing up, unfortunately, I didn't watch much women's golf on TV. We just didn't have much, and I always grew up watching Sergio Olazabal, which he lives just an hour from where I live in Spain, so he's been always a big hero. I mean, now obviously with Jon Rahm, and obviously I don't want to forget about Seve. I mean, Seve was just unbelievable. I'm good friends with his son. We are the same age, and we used to play junior golf together with the Spanish Federation. So, I mean, those names are just big. I love watching videos about them. I mean, watching them compete right now, Sergio and Jon, is just, I love the passion that we Spanish people have. And I mean, we love playing, we love competing. And on the women's side, I mean, I always, as Georgia said, I think Suzanne is a great role model, the way she's played, the way she's played her whole career, very professional. I mean, she always reminded me of Tiger, but in women, the way she walks. I mean, that mental aspect that you think she's very strong. Obviously, Annika, she was unbelievable to, I mean, what she did in those 10 years winning so many golf tournaments. And now that I'm playing, I mean, I can see how tough it is to win. So, I mean, there are a lot of players. I mean, I love Rory McIlroy, the way he plays, the power that he has. I mean, I love watching golf, and I just try to take the best of everyone.
We had a few people write in some questions on a couple of platforms online, and a lot of people want to know, like, what, how much you guys change, what's in your bag, or even what your favorite club is and why you're the most hesitant to change that. Carlota, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I am someone that I don't like change in general in my life. So, I mean, with golf clubs, it's pretty much the same. I just change my clubs every once a year when I start the season. I always, when I finish playing in December, I do a fitting. And then yeah, I see what's good for me, all the shafts, all the clubs, and yeah, that's what I try to do. I mean, change once a year, and then obviously the wedges I do change maybe every 2 months. I mean, once I see that I need some new ones, but usually I don't like to change much. I mean, I think once you have what you like and you think it's good for you, I think it's just more practice and hard work.
Georgia, what about you?
Yeah, I also don't like change at all. My irons, I change once a year, but I've had the same ones for the last couple of years. Wedges, twice a year. As soon as I think they kind of I need new ones, I'll change them. And then my driver and putter is probably the clubs that I don't like to change at all, really, especially my putter. I've got an old Rossi that I've used for probably like 8 years. I'm not sure how old it is, but it's pretty old. But I absolutely love it. And like Carlotta said, I think it's very important. Once you love something and feel very comfortable with it, then I think it's important not to change.
Since you do have so much confidence in your clubs, there's a guy named Zach who asked, during a typical tournament, out of all the greens, out of 18 greens, how many times are you aiming for the center versus aiming for the pin? I would assume, since you guys, you know, feel like pretty in tune to your equipment, that number might surprise people. Georgia, you can start.
I think it would all depend where the pins are, because probably last day they're more tucked, and where you are in the tournament to whether you would go for a pin or not. But I would like to say I'm fairly aggressive. If there is a pin that's tucked, say I think more on the right hand side for me, if the pin's tucked on the right hand side, I'd more aim middle of the green, and I'll tap the left ones a little bit more. It all depends how you shape the ball and how you feel. So I'd probably attack the pin, say 12, 13 times, and then aim kind of centre of the green for the rest.
Carlotta, what about you? What's your strategy usually?
Yeah, so I mean, I think what Georgia said is pretty much what I would say. I mean, I think it depends where the pins are. It depends which club you have. It depends where are you on the tournament. If you are leading the tournament, or you are in the whatever top 20, top 30. I do think that I am quite aggressive. I mean, I love going for the pin. I love that, but sometimes you have to be a little bit careful, especially playing the stage. You have some tough pins, you have some legs that you have to be careful. But I mean, if I have a wedge or less, I usually go to the pin. I play a little fade. So, I mean, usually the pins that they are on the right, it's a little easier for me. The pins that they are on the left, maybe I try to go more for the middle of the green. But, yeah, I mean, usually if I have a wedge or less, I'll go right at the pin. And then if I have a longer club, I'll just aim a few more yards away from the pin. So I hit the green.
One kind of fun question that I have, Georgia, I know that your boyfriend caddies for you. Has there ever been anything, even something small from your relationship, that's ever carried on to the golf course?
Never, no. Believe it. I'm on it. I'm being totally honest. Nothing. We are actually, I'm very lucky. We don't argue or bicker at all, hardly at all. I mean, sometimes you know, like when we're like not playing golf, there might be like a little chat, but no, there's literally nothing. We never argue on the course at all. He kind of knows that I would make most of the decisions, especially clubs, because then if it's the wrong club, I have no one to blame. I don't want to blame him. It's all my decision. So I think it's quite good that we have it that way. And no, I mean, he listens to me very well, so.
What's it like for both of you, you know, like you're working in the same industry, Carlota, you as well?
Sorry?
So you guys work in the same, you're in the same industry, right? You're out on tour together. What's that like for you?
Oh, with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think I would want him cutting for me because I know how I am and I love him too much and I think I would get angry and it would be really tough. So I think I just prefer him to, I mean, he loves what he does and I think it works great for us because we can travel the world together and for now I think it works out pretty well. But I do think that working for someone else, it's better for our relationship. He did cut it for me a few times and I mean, it's been pretty good, but it's been just like 2-3 times a year. I mean, he knows me very well, but I'm Spanish and I get angry and in the golf course it can be tough sometimes. I mean, I prefer to have someone else and he can have his life on the golf course and then we just do everything together outside the golf course. So I'm very happy this way.
What do you guys like to do or what do you miss most about traveling when you're on tour? Georgia, you can start.
I miss seeing everyone because, you know, you're used to seeing everyone every week and you're kind of a little family. I'm used to going out to dinner with a few players every week. So I do miss that kind of thing, that side of things. I miss probably seeing some, you know, some of the country's really nice golf courses and the weather is normally pretty good every time we play. And I miss kind of being busy because I'm that type of person. I really like to be busy a lot and like to do this. Now I'm going to do that. So it's kind of strange not having so much time. So I look forward to when we get going again and then, yeah, just be like weeks and weeks.
Carlota, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same. Usually when we play in the States, I mean, we get some houses, some Airbnbs, and we do some nice dinners, some barbecues with our players, other caddies. So, I mean, I really miss that. And then, yeah, I mean, playing good golf courses. I've been on tour now for 9 years, so I know the places that I like, the golf courses. And yeah, you miss being busy, having that routine every day, waking up and going to practice, going to play, and then traveling. I miss the routine. I mean, I'm trying to have a routine here, but obviously you have so much time and being at home is just not something that we are used to. So, yeah, I mean, having that routine and playing golf tournaments, I do miss a lot.
Yeah, I totally get it. I've been working from home for 5 weeks and I kind of don't know what to do with myself sometimes. One more thing before we let you guys go. Odyssey is doing this like home course challenge and we're coming out with like a new putt to do every week. Can you guys give like a little tip or something that like an obstacle course that you can think of to set up at your home? Last week we did like putting under a table. I think this week is down some sort of staircase, maybe if you have that, or like down like up from high to low. Just something fun to do. Georgia, do you have anything in your house that you can think of?
That's a good question. I've got like, I don't know, you could put off a bean bag and see where that goes. I'm not sure.
to test your speed control down the beans.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on a very, you know, a big ridge, you can give that one a go, but a good tip that I think for pace putting that you can do, even on carpet's fine. When I struggle with pace putting, it's just like very simple. Just close your eyes and have three targets and call out where you think if it's gone short or long off the target every time. And it's really good just to judge your rhythm and your pace. So it's quite a simple one, but I think it works very well.
Carlota, what about you? Do you have anything fun that you can think of to do at home?
Not much really, because I mean we live in a two bedroom apartment, so it's not very big.
Well, you have your putting mat, right?
Yeah, I do have the putting mat, and yeah, I have like this little thing that you have to hit the ball through those, like this little tunnel. So I think, as Georgia said, closing your eyes is really good for your rhythm. I mean, you can feel more your putter. I think it's a good exercise to practice. I mean, I think it's tough to practice golf at home, but yeah, I mean, if you have a few balls and putters, you can just hit some putts. But I mean, I don't really know what to say on this one.
you both could have like putting competitions with your boyfriends.
Oh, that doesn't turn out. He gets too competitive.
Be super competitive then.
He uses like five putters, or this one's better. I'm like, no.
Or you could just make it like totally different and just do some sort of putt in a TikTok video. I keep saying this because like secretly I really want TikToks of Georgia. I keep watching your TikTok videos. Confession time.
I'll have to create some more.
Yeah.
But my film, you know, my recorder gets a bit frustrated if it's over 20 minutes, you know. It's like, oh, can I go and play PlayStation now? I'm like, I've got to do this right.
What's the longest you've ever taken to make a TikTok?
The tripping one I done into the bucket when like the beat dropped. That's probably, actually no, that was first go. So that was, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, nice. That's what it said.
Yeah, before that I was practicing other ones, which I couldn't do. I was trying to land it on two roof tiles and then in the bucket. And then Harry was like, I think we should just chip it in the bucket. I was like, yeah, it's half an hour, I think.
Oh, well, if I decide to get one, which I might if this quarantine goes on much longer, I'll let Bjorn let you know, and maybe we can come up with something fun. Thank you guys for taking the time this morning to be with us. Hopefully we'll get together in person soon. I'm really glad that you're both doing well. If you haven't listened to any of our other podcasts, you're more than welcome to. And anyone who's listening, if you haven't listened to any other Girls in Golf podcasts, we're on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. And I think I've said podcast 5 million times now, so we're going to go. We'll catch you next week with Madeline Sagstrom.